Let us then turn to 2 Samuel chapter 16. 2 Samuel chapter 16, as we continue in our study of God's Word, we will look at the final verses of chapter 16 and through chapter 17 as we continue to consider the... It's a difficult way to describe it. We might say the judgment of God on David's sin, as we consider that all of this arises because of God's curse on David, because of his sin of murder and rape. And yet at that same time, we have to understand that this is not the final judgment, that David is a believer and relies in Christ. I thought this sounded like I wasn't making enough noise. Let's try that. So as we consider this situation that goes on here, we have to have that in the back of our mind, this whole thing, and particularly one aspect that's particularly nasty here, comes because of God's curse on him. And yet in the middle of this, we have to see God's grace. And we have to understand that as we consider our lives and realize how sinful and rotten I am, okay, not just me, but each one of us is, that God has every right to send all sorts of trials and troubles in my life. And yet the bare fact, the final fact may be that while he does send trials in our lives because of our sins, and sometimes not even, of course, by that fact, but when we sin, we are heaping up for ourselves trouble. At the other end of it, if we truly believe on Christ, our hope in the heaven does not change. And so let us read together God's word as we hear of more of David's trials due to the fact that he had sinned against Almighty God in the matter of Uriah and Bathsheba. So let us hear together God's word, beginning at verse 15 of chapter 16. Meanwhile, Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel was with him. And so it was when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, came to Absalom, that Hushai said to Absalom, "Long live the king! Long live the king!" So Absalom said to Hushai, "Is this your loyalty to your friend? Why did you not now go with your friend?" And Hushai said to Absalom, "No, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his I will be, and with him I will remain. Furthermore, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son, as I have served in your father's presence? So will I be in your presence." Then Absalom said to Ahithophel, "Give advice as to what we should do." And Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Go into your father's concubines, whom he has left to keep the house, and all Israel will hear that you are abhorred by your father, and the hands of all who are with you will be strong." So they pitched a tent for Absalom on the top of the house, and Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Now the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the advice of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Now let me choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue David tonight. I will come upon him while he is weary and weak and make him afraid, and all the people who are with him will flee, and I will strike only the king. Then I will bring back all the people to you. When all return except the man whom you seek, all the people will be at peace." And the saying pleased Absalom and all the elders of Israel. Then Absalom said, "Now call Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear what he says too." And when Hushai came to Absalom, Absalom spoke to him, saying, "Ahithophel has spoken in this manner. Shall we do as he says? If not, speak up." So Hushai said to Absalom, "The advice of Ahithophel has given is not good at this time. For," said Hushai, "you know your father and his men, that they are mighty men, and they are enraged in their minds, like a bear robbed of his cubs in the field. And your father is a man of war and will not camp with the people. Surely by now he is hidden in some pit or in some other place. And it will be, when some of them are overthrown at first, that whoever hears it will say, there is a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom. And even he who is valiant, whose heart is like the heart of a lion, will melt completely, for all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man, and those who are with him are valiant men. Therefore I advise that all Israel be fully gathered to you, from Dan to Beersheba, like the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that you go to battle in person. So we will come upon him in some place where he may be found, and we will fall on him as the dew falls on the ground. And of him and all the men who are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he has withdrawn into a city, then all Israel shall bring ropes to that city, and we will pull it into the river until there is not one small stone found there. So Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the advice of Hushai the Archite is better than the advice of Ahithophel. For the Lord had purposed to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel, to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster on Absalom. Then Hushai said to Zadok and Abiathar the priests, thus and so Ahithophel advised Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus and so I have advised. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, do not spend this night in the plains in the wilderness, but speedily cross over, lest the king and all the people who are with him be swallowed up. Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed at Enrogel, and they dared not be seen the coming into the city. So a female servant would come and tell them, and they would go and tell King David. Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom. But both of them went away quickly and came to a man's house in Bahurim, who had a well in his court, and they went down into it. Then the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground grain on it, and the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servants came to the woman at the house, they said, where are Ahimaaz and Jonathan? So the woman said to them, they have gone over the water brook. And when they had searched, they could not find them. They returned to Jerusalem. Now it came to pass after they had departed that they came up out of the well and went and told King David and said to David, arise and cross over the water quickly, for thus has Ahithophel advised against you. So David and all the people who were with him arose and crossed over the Jordan. By morning light, not one of them was left who had not gone over the Jordan. Now when Ahithophel saw that his advice was not followed, he saddled his donkey and arose and went home to his house, to his city. Then he put his household in order and hanged himself and died, and he was buried in his father's tomb. Then David went to Mahanaim, and Absalom crossed over the Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the army instead of Joab. This Amasa was the son of a man whose name was Jithra, an Israelite, who had gone into Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, the sister of Zeruiah, Joab's mother. So Israel and Absalom encamped in the land of Gilead. Now it happened when David had come to Mahanaim that Shobi, the son of Nahash, from Rabbah of the people of Ammon, Maker, the son of Amiel from Lodibar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite from Rogelim, brought beds and basins, earth vessels and wheat, barley and flour, parched grains and beans, lentils and parched seeds, honey and curds, sheep and cheese of the herd for David and the people who were with him. For they said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at God's word this morning, we see the results of sin going on, and we have to understand how horrific sin is, that God hates sin. And we have to see that in our own lives. This is not just about David. We have to not be comfortable with sin in our own experience. And so often we as human beings put our fingers outward and say, look at all those evil people. When we need to look at our own hearts and see the sin that is there. And we need to be in prayer. Lord, reveal to us, reveal to me my sin, so that I can hate it and that I can turn away from it. And as we look at this situation, it is a very, very, very sad situation in which Absalom, David's son, hates him so badly that he is doing everything he can, not just to kill David, that was the advice of Ahithophel, but to exterminate David's men. Everyone who had gone with David, according to Hushai's advice, was supposed to be killed. And so as we look at this passage, we must understand that this comes because of David's sin, because of God's curse on that sin. And furthermore, as we look at this, we have to see how strong Absalom really is against David. This is not a small rebellion. All Israel, we started that out. The men of Israel, the elders would be what that would be in verse 15 of chapter 16. Later on, as we read of the battle lines gathering together, that David went to Mahanaim, verse 24 of chapter 17. He and all the men of Israel with him. This rebellion against David at Absalom's hand was massive. And so it doesn't matter, though, as we consider this, how strong the enemy is. It doesn't matter how badly we've failed. As we said, this is a result of God's curse on David because he had murdered and he had raped. And yet in the end, we see again God's grace to sinners. And so as we look at this passage, the theme that we want to see is God defeats man's wise counsel and protects his people. God defeats man's wise counsel and protects his people. In verses 15 of chapter 16 through 14 of chapter 17, we see that Absalom seeks wise counsel for his rebellion. And in verses 17, 15 through 29, we see that God provides safety for his chosen king. No matter how much the rebellion, God provides safety. And so first of all, Absalom is seeking wise counsel. We have Hushai come. We have Absalom and Ahithophel there, verse 15 of chapter 16. Absalom is trying to illicitly establish himself as king of Israel. And here approaches Hushai, verse 16. And he comes as a double agent. I've been listening to a book about the intelligence agencies going on during World War II. That's amazing how much went on. And we have to understand how much having someone who is on your side, working for you, even in the middle of that, can be so powerful. So Hushai had been sent by David. I want to read just a little bit of that from chapter 15. Now it happened when David had come to the top of the mountain where he worshipped God, there was Hushai the Archite coming to meet him with his robe torn and dust on his head. David said to him, "If you go on with me, you will become a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, 'I will be your servant, O king, as I was your father's servant previously, so I will now be your servant,' then you may defeat the counsel of Ahithophel for me. And do you not have Zadok and Abiathar the priests with you there? Therefore, it will be that whatever you hear from the king's house, you will tell Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Indeed, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by them you shall send to me everything you hear." So Hushai, David's friend, went into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. So we have that. This whole thing, as David realizes it's going to go, and David sends Hushai to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. We read at the end of the chapter, verse 23, "Now the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one had inquired at the oracle of God." Ahithophel knew and was a very wise man, even if he advised some rotten stuff here. And yet Absalom says, I don't really trust you, Hushai. You're one of David's very close friends, verse 17. And Hushai says, I'm the man for the king of Israel, not just David, verse 18. And so Hushai attributes his loyalty to David through loyalty to his son. If I've served David, how much more can I then be a servant of David than by serving his son also? He's speaking double language there, I would have to say. And so Hushai becomes one of Absalom's counselors. And now we come to the rather nasty bit. Absalom seeks counsel from Ahithophel, and Ahithophel says, go into the concubines of your father. Yuck, you just don't do that. And he says Absalom would be abhorred in the sight of David. This was to force a split between Absalom's followers and David's followers, so that Absalom's followers would be strengthened in this. Well, we have to understand that this is because of God's curse on David for his sin. I want to read a little bit from just a few chapters earlier, 2 Samuel 12, when God judged David. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken to be your wife, his wife, to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before Israel, before the sun. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned before the Lord. This is something that ought not be done. And David had done this, we read, in secret, and God would do it to David in front of all Israel. We live in a culture that just has no clue about God's understanding of propriety with sexuality. We have to see that. And God is not amused. I want to read a little bit from 1 Thessalonians 4. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust as the Gentiles who do not know God. And this is the verses that are really hit here with what God is saying about David. That no one should take advantage of or defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. Defrauding is doing things sexually with someone who is not your wife, taking that which belongs to someone else. And we have no right to touch someone who is not our spouse. And David had done this, and God brings this judgment on him. God is not amused by these things. And so then we have Ahithophel's advice continued. Absalom does this rotten thing. And then we have Ahithophel. His advice was wise, except obviously in being disobedient to God here. Sometimes wise counsel takes us away from God's law. Well, then we need to listen to God's law, even if that wise counsel might perhaps be helpful to us, we cannot be obedient. And so then, we need to be obedient to God. We cannot be obedient to that counsel, just to explain and clarify. And so Ahithophel seeks to bring the people together around Absalom. As we've said, he's very wise. Let me choose 12,000 men, verse 1, and I'll arise and pursue David tonight to strike David and David alone. Notice Ahithophel while not having been there, knows exactly what's going on in David's camp. David has gone to rest because he was weary. And so initially Ahithophel's counsel pleased Absalom and the elders of the people, we read in verse 4. Often the first person we hear from sounds good until we listen to others. If we're going to check with other people, as we often should, we should not make any promises to that first person. If we do and we change our minds, we have lied to them. Not a good place to be. And so Hushai advises to gather Israel and to kill David's whole company. Absalom calls for Hushai and for his counsel, and Hushai is interestingly given all of Ahithophel's counsel and given the opportunity to consider and to disagree with it. And Hushai provides almost the exact opposite counsel. He says that Ahithophel's counsel is not good at this time. Hushai is protecting David. Hushai was there. He knows David's state. We read verse 8 that he is as Ahithophel had stated, and he presents David as the opposite of what he is. David is a mighty man. David is with mighty men. He will be hidden away, safe from the people. The end of this attack, if you go tonight, is going to be defeat for Absalom. Your men are going to come back disheartened. And so Hushai suggests, verse 11, gathering all Israel to Absalom, and that Absalom go to battle with David in person. To go in strength. But Absalom would lead the fight. And Hushai says, kill every one of them. In fact, if they're in a city, tear down the city and pull it into the Jordan. And so then we read verse 14. Absalom and the elders prefer Hushai's advice because God is working Absalom's destruction. David prayed that God would defeat Ahithophel's counsel. Ahithophel was very wise, and God used Hushai to that end. And brothers and sisters, when there is wickedness and wicked counsel in our own nation, we need to be praying that God would defeat that wickedness. God uses our prayers. And we as Christians need to be in prayer when there are things wrong, that God would right them, because God is the one who can do that. And so we have this whole mess going on. And yet, God's the one who provides safety. And that's what we look at in the final verses, verses 15 through 29. Hushai sends word to David about Ahithophel's advice. Hushai tells the priests to tell David. He follows what David had said to him. And Hushai advises David not to spend the night in the wilderness, but to cross over the Jordan. Now when they got that advice, they went and they left. But David was directly in the path of Ahithophel's counsel, had Absalom taken it. And so then, yet, we have the informants, don't we? The message has to get there somehow. And a lad saw the informants, and they told them, this young man told Absalom. And so they fled, and they hid in a well. And the woman spread a covering and grain over the top of the well to hide them, we read verse 19. And Absalom's servants came and asked this very person. We have to understand how God works this stuff out. Sometimes it's so close to our nose that we leave with just barely the skin. And yet God is working that stuff out. We don't need to fear man. We can trust in God. And so she points them across the Jordan. They searched. They couldn't find him. We read verse 20. And so then David's informants, Jonathan and Ahimeaz, cross over, follow David, and bring the news and the counsel of Ahithophel to David so that David could react to it. And so then that night, yet David and his people all crossed over the Jordan. Not a single one was left. And then we read of Ahithophel. He committed suicide. Realizing that his counsel was not followed, knowing that he had committed treason against David and he was in grave danger of death, he set his house in order and committed suicide. We have to deal with that. There's so much here. There is, first of all, no place where death is to be chosen over life. Ahithophel had certainly committed treason against David. Yet God had been merciful to David, and David should be merciful to Ahithophel. Ahithophel should see his day in court, not short-circuit justice. And yet also we see that Ahithophel does some very wise things, even in this foolishness. He sets his house in order. When we're going to die, and we are going to die, should the Lord tarry. Many people say, well, it's best to die quickly, not knowing what's going to happen. God says it's far better to be prepared to die. Honestly, we should be prepared to die at any time. We don't know when the day or the hour is going to be. And having our funeral plans set up is not morbid. It's wise. So Ahithophel, realizing that he has committed treason and that his counsel, which is wise, has not been taken, and that David is going to win this, commits suicide. Very sad. Very wise man. Yet wisdom doesn't always protect us, does it, from these sorts of things. And we need to seek the comfort and the help of other people when things get that difficult, instead of just ending it. And David, then we read, concludes, he goes across the Jordan. He went to Mahanaim. Absalom and all Israel followed him. The battle is set up. We read about Absalom's captain of the army. We see them encamped against each other at Gilead. David with just a few men. Israel with the whole army of Israel. And notice what the residents of Mahanaim do. They join David, don't they? They bring bread. They bring beds. They bring provisions in rich abundance to take care of their king. David is exhausted. And yet, into whose hands can he commit himself? God's. David had sinned, and we need to face that very clearly. We need to see God's curse on sin. While David was not lost eternally because of his sin, God brought very bad consequences on that sin. We have to understand the consequences of our sins, even on this earth, and hate it and run away from sin and be grounded on the Word of God. But brothers and sisters, even when we fail and we fall, the grace of God does not go away from us, does not end because we have failed and we have fallen. The grace of God is to sinners. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And so even as we see David in this situation, broken, running from his own son, as we see David receiving one of the direct responses of God's curse on his sin, yet David can rest in God and trust in God that God will save, God will provide. what is right, what is best. And God gives David a picture of that as the people of Mahanaim bring beds, basins, earthen vessels, wheat, barley, flour, so many other things to provide for him. And God will as well give David safety. Just one thing to know as we conclude the sermon. As we consider David, I think our minds have to run back to Saul, because there is a direct comparison. David, in the midst of these great trials brought about by his own sins, still can trust God. Saul, as he walked away from God, got further and further out into craziness, because he was not trusting in God. He was trusting in his own stuff, his own abilities. And it's a very clear comparison. But we have to see David failed miserably toward the end of his kingship of Israel. And so did Saul. And yet God's grace is to David. And Saul, God's grace was not there. We rely for every bit of this on the grace of God. And we need to be before his throne of grace, crying out, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." Because we all deserve that final judgment, just very clearly. We never may stand and say, "I'm good, I'm okay." The hymn goes, "I need thee every hour. Oh Lord, I need thee." Amen. Let us bow before Almighty God in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, as we sung at the beginning of this sermon service, "Not unto us, O Lord of heaven, but unto you be glory given, because you are the one who saves." We deserve your judgment. We deserve your wrath. And so, Lord, we come before your throne of grace, praying for your mercy, praying, "Lord, we need you every hour, every moment," relying on you for the salvation which you give. Lord, we confess that we sin against you. We sin against you in thought and word and in deed. And for those sins, you have every right not only to give us difficulties on this earth, but to destroy us eternally. And Lord, we rely on you, your grace, your mercy. And we pray, Lord, save. Help thou our unbelief. For we pray this in reliance on our only hope, on Jesus Christ our Savior. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray, even as he has taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."